switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Welcome in, Monday edition of the Gym Class, 3 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock here on KGYM. Coming up, we will take a look back at the weekend that was in the world of sports. We'll also check in with author Jarrett Van Meter and talk about his book, which chronicles high school basketball, especially in the state of Kentucky. And we'll kick that around with Jarrett coming up here in just a little bit. Also, Dr. Pepper prize pack. That is our prize today and throughout the week. More on that coming up in just a little bit. It is the Gym Class coming your way here on KGYM. Welcome. It is a Gym Class here on 1600 AM, the main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym. North Gym in Cedar Rapids, South Gym in Iowa City. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, the former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Kyle Mann in his second smash week as our producer. Here, as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour in the Gym Class, your local programming block getting underway will be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock, which, unless you've been under a rock the last 7 days, that takes you up to Game 5 of the NBA Finals coming up tonight. And we will have it for you on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM beginning at 7 o'clock as the Golden State Warriors at home will try to polish off the Cleveland Cavaliers. 107.5 FM listeners, you will get the Minnesota Twins and the Seattle Mariners, the red-hot Seattle Mariners, coming up tonight. And that will be from Target Field. Minnesota back at home after a 10-game road trip. And we'll have that tonight for you at 7 o'clock right here on KGYM. Happy hot Monday to you.
Indeed, and definitely a warm stretch, and I guess tip of the hat to all those athletes out there, especially soccer, baseball, softball, who endured the weekend. Very sticky one at that, so I know some of you deal with it better than others, but it was a warm one, and it will continue to be so into the middle of the week.
Yeah, we're just kind of in a little bit of a rut right now as far as the state of Iowa is concerned, and also need some rain, so, man, that would be nice if we can get that here. Although I will say Friday, Wisconsin, please no rain.
It is U.S. Open week, and you are headed there to watch the first and second rounds, and Kyle Mann will sit in with me those 2 days and watched a little bit of live from the Open today, analyzing the course, and going to be very interested to see what your observations are going to be.
I don't like the fact that they're saying it's a very hard course to walk. That's got me a little concerned. But first thing my wife said, there's no shade.
Yeah, that's right.
Said, yep, you got that right. So, yeah, we'll have more on that coming up on Wednesday with Caddy Smack here in the Gym Class. Looking forward to bringing you that. We're going to talk to author Jarrett Van Meter coming up. He has penned a book about high school basketball. And specifically right now about the state of Kentucky, but it kind of crosses over state lines a little bit, and we'll talk about that with Jarrett, and we'll do that here in just a little bit. Also this week, we have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away, and that includes from our great friends down the hill at Dr. Pepper Snapple. Hi, Steve, everybody down there. We do appreciate your help. Father's Day is right around the corner this Sunday. Why not give them a Dr. Pepper prize pack if you win one? Great day to open up and crack open a nice cold Dr. Pepper. You're going to get either a 24-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, a 24-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, a Dr. Pepper t-shirt, plus a KGYM t-shirt, and one of our world-famous KGYM pint glasses to enjoy. So there you go. You got your Father's Day taken care of right there, courtesy of Dr. Pepper.
Just be the correct caller as we make a plea for you to call. Not right now.
Not now. Give
us a call, and you be the lucky caller, and you're set up for dad.
Yeah, there you go. So we'll have that before 4 o'clock here today. Couple pieces of news. The big one, 37 years in the making here, Mark Dukes. According to some people, some Hawkeye fans, the long national nightmare is now over. Ladies and gentlemen, there will be a Tiger Hawk at the 50-yard line on the new field turf at Kinnick Stadium. Rejoice, everyone. Rejoice.
That news coming out of the University of Iowa today, and I doubt it's going to drive ticket sales very much.
No, but just gave a lot of people something to complain about for a long
time.
It's
all well and good, you know, but for 37 years, there was nothing in the middle of the field. And having said that, I wonder how many folks have been there in the last 5 years at Kinnick Stadium and even remembered what was in the middle of the field.
True.
I think the Tiger Hawk was in the end zones, wasn't that?
Tiger Hawks were in the end zones. They will not be in the end zones now. End zones will have Iowa in the north end zone, gold with the black, gold Iowa with black everywhere else. Hawkeyes, just like it has been in the south end zone. The Tiger Hawk will stretch from the 45-yard line to the 45-yard line. It won't be something like the Jayhawk at Elm Fieldhouse, as one writer put, which goes from one parking lot to the other. I thought that was kind of clever. 45-yard line to 45-yard line. It will face toward the press box. It'll go left to right on your television screens. And the yard lines will now be in the Iowa font, the official University of Iowa font. So, have we covered everything as far as the field and what it will look like is concerned?
Historically speaking, from 1972 to 1980, there was a block I in the middle of the field.
I remember that.
And then field turf or astroturf or whatever artificial turf was installed. And from 1980 till now, nothing in the middle of the field.
Good, bad, indifferent. Let us know your thoughts at 319-366-1600.
I think from a branding standpoint, it's good. Even though it was in the end zones before, now it's smack dab in the middle of the field. But in the whole scheme of things, it's not going to bolster the wide receiver core next year.
No, it is not. It will be a black Tiger Hawk with yellow trim, in case you're wondering and are playing the home game out there. That's what it will look like. So, what do you think? Going to be a game changer for the University of Iowa? Let us know on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line at 319-366-1600. I kind of say it tongue-in-cheek, but there were a lot of people for many, many years, Mark, that just were wondering out loud, message boards, etc., why isn't there a Tiger Hawk or anything at the 50-yard line? Are those people have to be happy today? I mean, it's not going to make the team play any better or anything like that, but
right.
As a marketing ploy, I think Iowa was one of the few people, one of the few institutions, I should say, that did not have something at the 50-yard line. But that will change now.
0601 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. That's jkainvest.com. And the number here, 319-366-1600. It will look great. Now they just need to paint the water tower.
There's the next thing. That's been the other complaint over the years. And I'm glad our texter pointed that out. A lot of people want a Tiger Hawk on the water tower,
mm-hmm.
which you can see. It's over on the northeast part of Kinnick, over the north end zone.
Right.
Slightly toward the river. And people have wondered now. That'll be the next thing. Why is that not painted? Why isn't this or that? Blah, blah, blah. I'm glad the texter pointed that out.
David at 5615. I've been on vacation for 10 days. How are the finals not over yet? I echo that, and I haven't been on vacation, David.
Tonight, I think it will come to a screeching halt. From the radio network that said we're not going to break down games anymore about 3 or 4 years ago has done nothing but breakdown games since last Thursday or so. Just saying. 319-366-1600. Other news today, Cornell has a brand new athletic director. Keith Hockett has been announced over in Mount Vernon as the new athletic director. Kind of an interesting path. He comes to Mount Vernon from Anchorage, Alaska. He was the AD for the University of Alaska Anchorage, a Division II school. And there was talk about Alaska Anchorage perhaps going D1 at one time. Of course, they were the hosts of the Great Alaska Shootout, which Iowa was a part of a couple times, a couple separate occasions. And when that was popular, things were going great guns up there. There was talk about Alaska going to be a Division I school, maybe playing Big Sky, whatever the case may be. But that has toned down a little bit. And now he leaves a D2 school to come to a D3 school, interestingly enough.
Yeah, it is interesting. And, well, I'm sure we'll get him on the airwaves when he arrives.
Yeah, love to talk with him and see exactly his thinking about that. And why make the move at this time, going from Alaska down to Mount Vernon? It's for the winters, right? Am I right?
Of course.
On that? So congratulations to Keith as he makes his way down here. It wasn't the greatest weekend as far as sports this past weekend. Am I completely missing the boat on
that? No, I agree. I agree.
Okay. I mean, nothing. Interesting races going on. Ryan Blaney winning. Getting into the chase as far as Monster Cup is concerned, or Monster, whatever they're calling it these days. The IndyCars had kind of a demolition derby Saturday night, but it was very interesting and very fun before the win to Will Power, what you heard on Saturday night right here on KGYM. And, of course, we crowned a champion in the world of hockey last night between Catfish being thrown out on the ice and et cetera, et cetera. The Pittsburgh Penguins win their second consecutive Stanley Cup championship last night.
Sidney Crosby, second year in a row as MVP.
Did you see the end?
No.
Do you agree? A lot of people have been kind of really taking the Nashville fans to task a little bit. I can see their booing of Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, because that's kind of the new thing in the 21st century is completely booing the commissioner of your sport. But during the ceremony, when Sidney Crosby was named the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, you kind of knew that was coming because of his behavior against PK Subban during the Game 5, especially. But we lost the sense of decorum a little bit as far as fan behavior, haven't we?
I suppose in certain spots. Nashville had a heck of a run.
They had a great run.
I'm sure it disappointed the fans. And there, as you mentioned, the history behind Crosby and Subban. But
the Stanley Cup is still the Stanley Cup. It's been around, I believe, since 1893. Don't boo the Stanley Cup. Don't boo the Stanley Cup. You wouldn't have booed it if you'd have won it.
Players certainly handle it differently, that's for sure.
I don't think it mattered to Pittsburgh one way or the other if they were booing or saying yay or whatever or throwing catfish. But one of the neat things as far as sports is concerned is watching a team skate around with the Stanley Cup and the handshake line after the final game. I thought Nashville's fans could have handled it a little bit better. Just my opinion out there. Maybe you share that opinion. I don't know. 319-366-1600.
Well, I think, as you mentioned, the NBA Finals will wrap up tonight as well. Chance for you to weigh in at KGYMradio.com and our email's hideaway poll question. Will the Golden State Warriors wrap up the NBA Finals tonight? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, behind Taco John's.
Almost a 10-point favorite tonight is Golden State. Obviously, Cleveland is going to have to shoot it as well as they did in Game 4 on Friday night, if they're going to come through and have a shot at going back to Cleveland for Game number 6, which I believe is not till Thursday night.
Correct, yeah.
These 3 days between, whatever. But that's always been the way it is, so not going to complain about
1545 that. 1545 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. 45 to 45-yard line is fine in regards to the Tiger Hawk in the middle of Kinnick Stadium field. I have issues with basketball courts with their gigantic logos and just a bit of tiny wood showing. I always think, okay, we all see it.
Well, Iowa's Tiger Hawk is pretty big at Carver Hawkeye Arena. nothing beats the Jayhawk, though, at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing is enormous. I would agree with the texter a little bit. I think it's gotten out of control.
Well, subtlety is good.
Subtlety is better at times. But, again, it is the time we live in. 319-366-1600. Aaron Judge did hit a mammoth home run. 495 feet, the longest in baseball this year. So that thing's still going, I believe. Baseball draft is coming up tonight. More on that during the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. Your Twins are on the clock right now, Mark.
There are indeed a lot of speculation as to which player the Twins will take. I think right now it might come down to Brandon McKay. Brandon McKay, a Louisville left-handed pitcher and first baseman, and perhaps Royce Lewis, shortstop out of California, California high school ranks. A lot of folks have Hunter Green, the high school pitcher and shortstop, ranked the number one prospect. Is it triple digits? As a right-handed pitcher on the radar gun, hits the heck out of the baseball. Kyle Wright, a right-handed pitcher from Vanderbilt, another possibility. So, you know, I don't.
You were asking Todd Brommelkamp before we got started. You're more of the go get the college guy with the experience.
Well, all I can think of when you talk about Hunter Green, all I can think of is David Clyde and Brian Taylor. Two really high-profile guys coming out of high school and largely washouts. And Clyde had some time in the major leagues, but had a losing record and a lousy ERA. And Brian Taylor rarely, if barely, sniffed the major leagues. So, you know, I'm not really sold on, you know, it's going to take longer to develop high school prospects. Not that it may not for a college prospect, but I've seen McKay pitch and I've seen Wright pitch and I like what they offer. But, you know, by and large, the Major League Baseball draft to me is the biggest crapshoot out there.
It is.
I mean, we all know. I look back at the number one draft pick since Rick Monday in 1965, the overall number one picks, and 24 reached an all-star game in their career. So that's about half.
About half.
But there's so many examples, and I don't have to run them down, of players that were not very high draft picks. Mike Piazza, an excellent example, being, 60th round draft pick, and recently...
Or a round they don't even go to anymore.
Right, recently taken into the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, like I said, it's a huge crapshoot. This is not considered one of the best drafts in recent years, especially after the first 20 picks or so. So we'll see. We're never going to know until a few years down the line.
Yeah. 321 here on the Gym Class, a Monday edition here on KGYM. We mentioned we got the NBA game and the Twins coming your way here this evening. And we're going to talk some basketball with author Jarrett Van Meter. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. U.S. Open week. And that will get underway at Erin Hills as forecast not looking too, it's iffy for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Of course, whatever. It's going to do what it's going to do.
An interesting aspect of this just popping up today is Phil Mickelson said he was not going to play in the U.S. Open because his daughter graduates from high school that morning of the first round.
Correct.
And to get back to Wisconsin for, 2 o'clock tee time?
They gave him a late afternoon tee time.
What if it rains and the afternoon session gets washed out?
That's why he's kind of waiting to see if he's going to be able to make it or if he's going to have to withdraw. But is that fair, though? And I'm the world's biggest Phil Mickelson fan. But is that fair to that alternate there who's got to be at the course and he's just waiting to see if he's going to get his name called?
If I were that alternate, I'd be totally fine with it because it's Phil Mickelson. He had his first priority to go to his high school daughter's graduation. And the guy, the only major he's never won is the U.S. Open, and the window is closing.
He's running out of time.
And as much as I'd like to play in the U.S. Open, I'd be glad to step aside for Phil Mickelson.
Yeah. Well, maybe not all people are going to think that way, though.
Yeah, no. I'd expect them to.
23 past the hour of 3 o'clock. And let's do this. Let's go ahead and we will take a break, come back. And when we do, we're going to reach out and talk with Jarrett Van Meter. He is an author from Lexington, Kentucky, and he has completed a book about high school basketball. A very interesting book, and we're going to talk about a lot of facets about that with Jarrett. So we'll do that when we come back. This is the Gym Class at 23 past the hour at 3 o'clock. Monday edition coming your way. 91 degrees outside. Stay hydrated out there. You've been through the drill throughout the weekend, but another scorcher out there in eastern Iowa. Back with more after this.
Your computer and IT needs are as individual as you are, and there really is no reason to be a sheeple. And pick a plan that has you paying monthly service fees to be part of a herd. At Network Computer Solutions, you only pay for what you need because the plan is designed for you. Call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. If you're sick of the wool being pulled over your eyes, call Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Hey guys, Overhead Door is recruiting installers. Here's Overhead President Derek Powell.
Are you happy in your current job? Are you interested in work that is never dull and full of opportunity? Overhead Door is a local leader in the door business, and our 35 employees will tell you they enjoy coming to work. That matters to me, and I own the company.
Excellent training wage, signing bonus, and benefits. OverheadCRIC.com. Please apply in person.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Mike and Mike on the Gym is presented by Hertzian and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, downtown Iowa City. Stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Too tight, too dated. What do I wear with this?
I'm telling you, honey. Trunk Club curates outfits based on your personal style and sends them right to our door.
So I don't have to stare at the closet every day and feel defeated?
Exactly. And Trunk Club is a Nordstrom company, so your stylist helps you find your perfect look and you get quality brands.
Oh, I like that.
Then stop staring and get back to doing what you love.
Golfing.
Antiquing.
Yeah, antiquing, right.
Love what you wear. Visit trunkclub.com/ESPN and we'll help you make sense of style.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the Gym Class on KGYM.
325, back with you here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here as we take you through the Monday edition of the show. Game 5 between Cleveland and Golden State coming up tonight. That's on 1600 AM, 106.3 FM. Twins baseball on 107.5 FM. Twins finally back home as they will welcome the Seattle Mariners to Target Field for this one tonight. And we'll have it for you at 7 o'clock right here on KGYM. Doesn't feel like basketball weather outside. 91 degrees sunshine here in eastern Iowa, but we're going to talk some basketball. Jarrett Van Meter is an author from Lexington, Kentucky. The book is How Sweet It Is and talks about basketball, starting off in the state of Kentucky, but we're kind of go across state lines a little bit and just talk some hoops here on a very hot Monday. And Jarrett, thank you very joining us here today. Do appreciate it. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you all?
Doing great. Doing great. And well, tell us a little bit about the background, why you decided to pen this book, and how it's gone so far.
Absolutely. So at the core of it all is the fact that Kentucky is one of two states left where in high school basketball they crown only a single state champion every year, the other state being Delaware. There's no class systems. I was doing some research. I think Iowa has four classes.
Right.
I think I was looking back, and I guess it's been several decades since they had a single champion format, but that's what Kentucky's kind of held on to, and a lot of people love it. It's sort of now, since there's only two states left, become something that people here kind of hang their hat on. So in order to kind of celebrate that, I love the Season with the Team books, like Friday Night Lights, and I decided to do a different take on that by following three teams from three very different parts of the state that have nothing in common, and if they were in other states, they would probably be competing for different state championships, but since they're in Kentucky, they're all competing the same. for the same one. And if it's all right with you guys, I have a game that I've sort of come up with in my head. I was going to describe each of the three teams that I followed, and then you guys could use your expertise to give me the Iowa high school that you think might be the equivalent of the team in Kentucky that I'm describing.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll try.
Okay, great. So the first team I followed was Taylor County, and they had the most talented roster in the state by far. They were led by Quentin Gooden, who this past year, as a freshman, led Xavier to the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament. They had another Division I prospect named David Sloan and another top-tier player in the state named Dylan Gaines. So I was doing some research, and it looks like maybe Linmar Marion in Iowa might be a good comparison there as far as the talent level. What do you think about that?
Well, I think they're certainly one of the two or three, probably Linmar, Iowa City West, right now.
Okay.
Anyway.
Iowa City West I thought of first, yeah.
Yeah, but I think you're right in the right vicinity right there.
Perfect. So that was one of the teams I followed, and they actually started the season preseason number one in the state, and they faltered. It was a crazy season narrative for them. They stumbled out of the gate to a 7-7 start, but then ultimately made it to our state tournament, which is called the Sweet 16, and held every year in the Rupp Arena, which is where University of Kentucky plays. And the main goal of every team is to make it to the Sweet 16, and they were able to do that. But the next school is called Covington Catholic. It's an all-boys private school in the Cincinnati suburbs here in Kentucky. And it's all boys. It's kind of like they're considered the Duke Blue Devils of the Kentucky high school basketball. They're kind of the team a lot of people love to hate, sort of rich kids. They've had great basketball success. And they're kids that not only are dominant in all sports, but will go on to have success even if they don't play college athletics. Is there a team in Iowa that kind of has that vibe, a private school that's sort of the Duke Blue Devils of the state?
West Des Moines Dowling.
I would say Dowling. Not to ruffle any feathers out there, because I know we have a lot of Dowling people in the metro area, but that would probably, if you took a survey of the state, I think they would. Your probably number one answer there would be Dowling.
And that's in Cedar Rapids?
No, that's in West Des Moines, in Des Moines.
Oh, okay. Great. And they've got a pretty strong program over there?
Yeah, very good, especially football.
Gotcha. Okay, well, yeah, that's Covington Catholic. That's the second team. They're actually coached by Scott Rustadt, who was an assistant under Bob Hurley at St. Anthony's in New Jersey for 3 years before he came to Covington Catholic. And they have a guy on their roster now who's actually being heavily recruited by Iowa named C.J. Frederick.
Mm-hmm.
Fran McCaffrey was an assistant at Notre Dame when Joe Frederick was there, and Joe Frederick is an assistant coach at Covington Catholic there. So there's a lot of crossover between the Iowa program, coincidentally, and Covington Catholic. But the third school is called Clay County, and it's from rural Appalachia. And obviously there's not as many mountains out there in Iowa, but they're a rural school that there's not much around it as far as towns or cities or urban areas. But they, you know, there's a lot of, it's a big coal mining community. So maybe think in terms of like a farming or outdoors workforce. But they have an unbelievable basketball tradition full of kids who probably won't play college basketball. If they do, they'll play at small colleges, but they play great team basketball and just have unbelievable tradition and play great defense. Just kind of a hustle team from the middle of nowhere. What's the Iowa equivalent of that?
If it was baseball, I'd say Norway. But I think there's many schools like that in Iowa, Jared. Maybe you have one, Scott. That
I'm kind of going through my mind.
I think
here.
At different eras, some schools would apply more than any.
A Cascade kind of came to mind to me. Although it's not a real rural area, the team concept, same coach for 40 years until within the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of players that would go on to play
high level college basketball, but yeah, no mountains in the state of Iowa, by the way, Jared. Yeah,
right, exactly. Yeah, that sounds like a perfect comparison because Clay County has always been led by this man named Bobby Keith, who is probably the greatest coach in state history. And actually, the year that I followed them was the final year of his life. He ended up passing away, but he's on the cover of the book. Actually, he led the team to a state championship in 1987. And if you do that in the mountains of Kentucky, you'll be remembered and beloved forever. So having the same coach for that long period rings a bell, and that's perfect there. But yeah, that's just kind of the general idea of how I chose the three schools. I kind of wanted very different teams, but it was a fascinating year just getting to know the kids. I tell people basketball is at play in the book, but it's more a human interest piece. Just kind of looking at how all these different kids, no matter where they come from, they all want the same thing, and that's to win a state championship in the state of Kentucky.
Does it happen often, Jarrett, that you get a Hoosiers-like story, the Hickory High School? It was actually Milan, I think, in real time, but maybe that school in the Appalachians that beats all the big ones.
Exactly. It happens just often enough to where we keep our state tournament as it is, because if more often than not, the big schools from Louisville and Lexington will win. And if that were the case every single year, obviously there would be more people who would be crying for to change to a class system. However, it happens just frequently enough that a team like Clay County, the rural team that I had described, they won in 1987. A team from the mountains won a couple years ago. It happens about once or twice a decade, but it does happen, and they win the entire thing, and it's just such a special story, the fact that they were able to not only get to the state tournament here in Lexington and play the big city schools, but also beat them. When Clay County won in 1987, they actually beat Louisville Ballard, who's a big school from Louisville, and Louisville Ballard was led by Allen Houston of New York Knicks fame. So it makes for great storylines when it does happen, and it happens just often enough to keep the people here satisfied with our current format.
Yeah. Jarrett Van Meter joining us here on the Gym Class Monday edition here on KGYM. The one-class tournament versus the multi-class tournament. Advantages, disadvantages, especially in this day and age, and whether we like to admit it or not, finances sneak into high school events as well. There's been rumors here in the state of Iowa maybe going from an 4-class 18 tournament, cutting it in half, having another round of regional play and sub-state play before getting to the state tournament. I would imagine, though, as popular as the Sweet 16 is in the state of Kentucky, it kind of pays for itself, so there's really no need to change things up, or do they look at it in those ways?
It's the event itself draws people from all over the state, and even sometimes from out of state. People come and they take the week off of work. They'll come, and their families are friends because of that tournament. They met there and they meet up there every year. So there's a lot of tradition away from the basketball court that's tied into it. But it also, the format as it is, it lends itself to a kid who might be lightly recruited just based off where they're from, or maybe they played baseball in the spring, so they're not on the AAU circuit. But if they make a run and get hot at the right time, they're on the big stage in front of everybody in the state, and that can change their lives. That actually happened this year. A kid named Jake Omer, who played for a small school called Scott High School, he had previously committed to the University of Cumberland, which is a small NAIA school here in Kentucky. He hit a buzzer beater three to win the regional championship, which is the game to get to the Sweet 16. And so he hit that shot, and so the team was unlikely, and they made it to the Sweet 16 to everyone's surprise. And then when they got to the Sweet 16, they actually won a few games. He put the team on his back. I think he scored over 100 points in three games, and he landed an offer from Western Kentucky University, which is a Division I school in the Sun Belt. And that would have never have happened if he didn't make the three in the regional to make it to Rupp, and then had the run that he did in Rupp. So it lends itself to, even if even teams that don't win the entire tournament, individuals can capture the hearts of everybody in attendance at the state tournament also. So that's part of its charm as well.
Jared, did you go into doing this book with any preconceived notions in terms of the players, the schools, the fan bases, what have you? And if so, or if not, you know, what'd you learn along the way?
So I'm from Lexington, Kentucky, which is the second biggest city in the state. I guess it's comparable to Cedar Rapids. It's where University of Kentucky is. And I kind of grew up in a Lexington bubble, I tell people. And I didn't really know. I went away to college in Vermont and kind of worked outside of the state for a while. And as a result, I didn't know too much about other areas of the state. It's a big state geographically. And so it was kind of my first exposure to the mountains of Appalachia and eastern Kentucky and western Kentucky, where Taylor County is, and even northern Kentucky, which is basically all a Cincinnati suburb. So just getting to see so many different parts of the state, even when the teams travel to away games and everything, and just meeting so many people from within the state, it was pretty eye-opening just to see how many cultures do exist within the state of Kentucky outside of the Lexington bubble, as I call it. And the three coaches were as different as the programs themselves. All three of them were great and good to me, but they were all very different from each other. And the programs all just were run so differently. And that was exactly what I wanted. So it worked out perfectly as far as what I had planned in getting three schools that conveyed and represented different parts of the state.
This is a bit off subject, Jared, but didn't or do they still, Kentucky and Indiana, have like a cross border series?
They do. They actually played that yesterday and the day before. They went up to Indianapolis and played in Bankers Life Fieldhouse, which is where the Pacers play, and lost on Saturday. Kentucky's team lost on Saturday, and that was their 17th loss in a row to Indiana. But then they came back yesterday and played in Frankfort, which is the capital of Kentucky, and they won in the first double overtime game in series history. The Kentucky team snapped the 17-game skid, and they beat Indiana by one yesterday. So that ended an almost decade-long streak of losing to the Hoosier State, and it's a great tradition. I absolutely love that they do that still.
Well, and kind of parallel along that, state of Indiana, of course, for a long time had the one class tournament, and so many people were against when they went to a class system there. But they've kind of learned to adapt and learned to live with it. And probably you think of boys basketball in the United States, Indiana and Kentucky are the two hotbeds as far as the state tournament is concerned, especially as far as attendance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because attendance has been down. I go into this in the book, but it's been down in Kentucky the past few years. And I asked the commissioner of the KHSAA, his name's Julian Tackett, about that. And he said there are external factors that are completely separate from sports, but from a sheer basketball standpoint, sometimes it just matchups make all the difference. If you get a team like a Clay County from the mountains, or a Cinderella team, because it's not seeded. The tournament is not seeded, so it's done by a random draw. So a little team from the middle of nowhere can get to the Sweet 16, and then they can potentially, based on their draw, win a few games, and before you know it, they're either in the semifinals or the state championship game. And when things like that happen, it can lead to just the entire town of Lexington, with everybody who's here to watch the tournament, turning into a fan of that team. So that boosts attendance. And the past few years have been dominated by the big city schools. Bowling Green, which is the third biggest city in the state, Bowling Green High School won this year. A Lexington team won last year. And so it's kind of we're in a lull of the big city dominance right now, but it's only a matter of time until one of the Cinderella's strikes again, and that's what makes it great here. And when that happens, I'm sure the Rupp Arena, all 24,000 seats, or just about all of them, will be filled. So,
yeah, we had something similar here in the state of Iowa, but on the girls' side for so many years with 6-on-6 basketball, one class, and sellouts for the entire week with seating, advanced ticket sales, etc. Back in the days of Vets Auditorium, 15,000 or so coming for each and every game. So we kind of know from where you're coming as far as both all the subjects as far as your book is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the sheer passion and just love that people have for it and have for the tournament and just high school basketball here. It's pretty crazy. And I've heard, I was thinking about places that would be good to talk about this book, as far as states go. And a lot of my high school or basketball fan friends here all said Iowa. You know, they just love their sports out there, so I was told. And just even though they have the class system, it's as good as it gets as far as high school atmosphere. So I would love to come out there and see some games and see the state tournament and how that functions. Do they play that at the University of Iowa? Where do they play the championship games?
Wells Fargo Arena over in Des Moines, the brand new arena over there. So that's where they get that going. And well, what's your next project? What are you looking at? Something similar to this? What's in the plans?
Absolutely. So for a while, I was thinking, I had so much fun with this, I was thinking about potentially just taking the format and of following three teams and going to another state like Indiana or an Iowa or some other basketball crazy state. But I just decided that might water down what I've done here. And so the next project's a basketball book. I can't really go into it too much because I'm still sort of in the negotiation phase, but it would be sort of another season with the team book, at the collegiate level, not necessarily Division I, but, and it's, I just love basketball, and I fell in love with the book process doing this, and I want to keep it going. So you guys will be one of the first to know when that's officially announced.
Well, good luck with Calipari or Pacino, okay?
One or the other, right?
Yeah. Hey, Jared, appreciate it. How can people get a hold of the book, and tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I'm on Twitter. My handle is jvanmeter31, and I have the link to Amazon pinned to my profile there. Or you can just Google search it. The book is called How Sweet It Is, and you can type the author name, Jarrett Van Meter. It's on my publisher's website, which is sportshistoryfoundation.org. But if anyone has questions about how to get it or anything, they can reach out to me on social media. I'm always happy to chat with people about high school sports. Even if they don't want to buy a book, they can reach out to me and ask questions. And I love to get into discussions with anyone about sports. So they can find me on Twitter if they have any questions at jvanmeter31.
All right. Sounds good. Jared, thank you very much for your time, and best of luck coming up. Enjoy talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. This was great.
All right, Jarrett Van Meter from Lexington, Kentucky, in the book How Sweet It Is, chronicling three teams in the world of high school basketball in the state of Kentucky.
We were talking with Jarrett about the small coal mining community that rose up and won state championships, and I think on the text line it elicited more responses in baseball than basketball. For example, Lansing Key in baseball. And
Bancroft, St. John's, and places like that.
Well, I mentioned Norway, and certainly Decorah, as Josh on 380 mentioned, but one of the basketball schools. And I think this does go in streaks. Certainly Palmer in the 1980s. Paulina back in the day with Neil Fegebank. Iowa City, Regina, when Gannon was there. Won 3 out of 4?
I believe so. Back in the late 70s. Right there with Mark Gannon. So, yeah. Hey, thank you. Appreciate the interaction there. And great to talk with Jarrett from Lexington, Kentucky. Very interesting book, too. And it opens kind of the thought process about, and I know having friends in the state of Indiana, in fact, I'm going to see one later on this week, that have opinions, pretty strong opinions, I mean, we kind of kicked around the Hawkeye thing in the middle of the field a little bit that people had opinions on. This is strong opinions. I mean, there were people that will never go again, they said, to the state basketball tournament because they went to a class system in the state of Indiana. And you just got to know how big that is, that state tournament. It's now a one-day affair at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in downtown Indianapolis. But there was a lot of consternation when they went from the old Hoosiers-type single-class format to breaking it down into four classes.
Well, this is what you do in the wintertime, Scott. Can you imagine the Iowa Boys State Basketball Tournament being a one-class tournament? There's years that I've often said, you know, these are four great teams regardless of class. I'd love to see them play it off.
Girls used to.
Yeah.
The girls it wasn't very long, but it was 5 years or so, I want to say, after they went from the one-class girls state tournament to multi-class state tournament, but they had the winners play off in a Final Four. Didn't last very long, and one of the reasons was the fact that, well, it gives the girls or whoever a sense of they didn't win if they lost two games after winning a state championship in their class. And I can see that a little bit, but it's not going to come back. I don't think that is the case. 319-366-1600 before we get to a break at 349. Let's bring our friend Joel from Muscatine in and talk about this subject. Joel, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Now, I don't know a lot about basketball, but I've always felt with baseball – that they should do the playoff that you were just talking about. If you look at, you know, they're not around anymore, but Spalding Catholic back in Northwest Iowa, they used to go toe-to-toe with Helin every year, and it's a heated rivalry. Some of these small schools could beat these big schools, hands down, in my opinion. Especially look at Assumption. They have like three starters who are Division I prospects. So I would love to see 3A champion Assumption potentially play a 4A champion or whatever, and just have them all play each other and have a true state champion. I think it's a great idea. Let's just do it in baseball, though. Maybe softball, but we don't need to do the other sports.
I think Norway would have won it many, many years in a row.
We got usually our brains beat in by the Norway Tigers.
down here in Muscatine, we'd always go play in the Wilton tournament, and even when we had top 10 ranked teams in Muscatine, you know, we would go play Wilton, and they would give us everything we could handle. That's a small program that can play with anybody.
You bet.
So it's fun. It's fun. Pitching is the key, and little towns have great pitchers.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Hey, great thoughts, Joel. Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. 350 here on the program.
Today's pitch counts, though. I don't know if that's going to be true with smaller schools.
That's the whole thing, and we've been talking about it on our Saturday Coach's Corner programs with the baseball coaches, and most are for having some sort of a pitch count, but boy, it
hamstrings some teams.
It does, and there is talk. 40 games right now is the amount you can play in Iowa high school baseball, and especially in the 1A and 2A level with the new pitch counts that are going into effect this year, you are seeing teams that are saying, we're probably not going to be able to play all these games in the future to schedule them because we just don't have the pitching, especially when you don't have as many kids to call on because you're a 1A school or a 2A school. And maybe that's going to be looked at in the future as far as the Iowa High School Athletic Association is concerned. I can't talk for them. It's a national thing. And the good part is more kids are playing now. Because you need more pitchers.
Right, right.
And if somebody's pitching, that opens up a position. So I think it's a good aspect right there. But the coaches have said they've had to really think this year about how, okay, can we bring him out for another third of an inning? Because we're going to have to rest him another day. So it's a different ball game this year.
Cyclone Tim on the text line, it would be neat to see in basketball, meaning the one-class system, but you really couldn't do it in football.
Oh, no.
No.
No. And that's nothing against, you know, the 1A champion or whatever the case may be. But I'm sorry, you can't have Dyke New Hartford playing West Des Moines Dowling or somebody like that.
No.
Ask
I just
Alex.
Don't want to see that.
Ask Alex on the sideline when Dowling came out a couple years ago. They were bigger than college teams. Oh, man.
Regina and, you know.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
Yeah, and I don't want to get in that avenue because we're going to have people mad at us that, oh, they can't play with them. Well, that's not the case, but you get where I've kind of drifted off.
Yeah.
3:52. We're going to take a break, come back as we're going to head to break. Going to give you an opportunity to pick up our Dr. Pepper prize pack, our first one of the week. And thanks to everybody at Dr. Pepper Snapple for helping us out. Do appreciate it. Going to get a Dr. Pepper prize pack, and it will include a 24-pack of either regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper, your choice, Dr. Pepper t-shirt, plus from KGYM, we're going to give you a KGYM t-shirt, and we're going to give you a KGYM pint glass. And that's going to go out to caller number 6 right now at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. Caller number 6, you are going to get that prize. We'll come back with more after this on KGYM.
Summer involves a lot of driving to camp, to work, to soccer, back home to grab what they forgot, and then back to soccer again. So wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? Enter Hum by Verizon. Now you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, drive with more peace of mind thanks to 24/7 emergency assistance, and let the kids stream and game on the go with your car's own Wi-Fi hotspot. Get Hum and get where you're going. Learn more at Hum.com. Verizon Wi-Fi available on Hum X only. Data usage applies. Coverage not available everywhere. Visit VZW.com for availability.
Greeny, it's time to amplify your game with a summer savings event.
How do I step it up, Golic?
Well, by getting in on BOGO 50 GNC Protein.
Go on.
Advanced Weibolic Extreme 60, strength, power, and rip formulas, plus casein and original.
Sounds great, but how do they taste?
Weibolic Extreme 60 Proteins are packed with 8 powerhouse flavors.
Impressive.
No, Greeny, comprehensive. Hustle into your GNC or visit GNC.com. Sale ends July 5th. Strength begins at GNC.
Greta is a drill instructor.
Move, move, move!
Yes, ma'am!
When it comes to training lean, mean, fighting machines, she doesn't mess around.
Drop and give me 3,000!
But when it comes to getting a mortgage, Greta's less confident.
I got nothing.
Fortunately for Greta, there's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. It's simple, so she can understand the details and know she's getting the right mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Go to rocketmortgage.com today.
Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
You wanted the best? They're coming 4 abreast. It's the World of Outlaws Craftsman Sprint Cars. The premiered Wing Warriors battle it out. The World of Outlaws Superstars. The greatest show on dirt is coming. The Hawkeye 25 is here with the World of Outlaws Craftsman Sprint Cars at West Liberty Raceway. Friday, June 23rd. Racing starts at 7:30. Buy tickets at slspromotions.com or call 815-344-2023.
On the job site, when you need it, you need it. Lost minutes mean lost dollars. And let's be honest, you're not in this line of work for the scenery. Let Star Equipment back you up. Star Equipment's been raising the bar on construction equipment and supplies for just shy of 50 years now. They sell and can deliver top-flight equipment so you can keep the clock and the money ticking. Star Equipment. Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
Eastern Iowa Sports is their domain. Back to the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Good discussion with Jared Van Meter with his terrific book about high school basketball in the state of Kentucky. And kind of we pushed that across state lines a little bit. Mark from Marion is the winner. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. And you are going to get that Dr. Pepper prize pack. And we'll have more throughout the week. Also, Lunchbox Heroes is back. Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. They're going to be down at the Madison Street Project in Iowa City this Wednesday. And big thanks to Built by Pros, Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, Chick-fil-A, Lindale, Acme Tools, Mediacom, Dr. Pepper, The Colonel, C7G Distributing, Star Equipment, Wild Hog Saloon in Walford, Red Wing Shoes, and Airgas. Do appreciate all their help as Lunchbox Heroes. We'll be back and better than ever coming up on Wednesday.
Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up, as you mentioned. And also you can, on that program, get a chance to win a prize to the Freedom Festival coming up. And I'm sure Todd and Alex will cover the first pick, if not more, in the Major League Baseball draft. That first pick by the Minnesota Twins scheduled a little after 6 o'clock Central Time. And then the first round will be completed today, and the rest of it will play out tomorrow and Wednesday.
Yeah. Twins baseball coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. Twins and the Mariners on 107.5. Game 5 of the NBA Championships between Cleveland and Golden State on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. Cal Elder talks baseball with us coming up tomorrow. Stay cool, Mark.
Got it.
All right.
When you're hiring for a growing business, you don't need lots of candidates. You need the right candidates. You need Indeed.com with an algorithm that positions your job post.